evening, everyone. Love Welcome to the radio.
Welcome to Rates and Lanes with Rico Muhammad and Chuck Snow.
Good evening, everyone. You've got Chuck Snow here live from Milton, Ontario, Canada. And unfortunately, my co-host, Rico Muhammad, is not able to make it in tonight. He got tied up with something. And our good friend, George Heck, from Blue Heron Logistics, will be joining us any second. Here he is now. Tonight, we are going to talk about partial loads and how you can make money. And hang on a second. Let's see if we can connect George. George, are you there?
Hi, Chuck.
Good evening. I'm good, George. How are you?
Good evening. Doing very well. Just getting back to South Carolina today.
Oh, good trip, then.
Yes.
Well, George, first of all, I want to take a second here and apologize to our listeners. We had some technical issues again tonight and was not able to get in till 7:30, which is right now. So we're going to forego the DAT report, and we're going to get right down to business, you and I. I want to thank my daughter, Carly, out in the West Coast for helping me tonight with some of the backroom switchboard stuff. If you want to call in, just press 1, and you can join the conversation with George Heck from Blue Heron Logistics and I. We are going to talk about the partial load business because I've had a lot of interest lately, people wondering about what sort of a niche they could get into. It seems to be a little bit more competition out there or a little less freight volume in certain lanes, things people can do to remain profitable. I think one of the experts we can have in the U.S. to talk about partial loads is George from Blue Heron because of his experience in the LTL business. Now, George, I just want our listeners to understand there's a difference between the traditional LTL, which I think many of us in the industry look at the one and two skids as compared to the partial loads, which I look at, you know, 2 to 12 skids sort of thing. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the industry, I mean, even the large LTL companies don't really want anything over 10 feet of space because it kind of messes up their whole LTL side of the 1 and 2 skids. Putting together partials, you know, whether it be two loads, two stops on a trailer, four stops on a trailer, that sort of thing. Oh, dynamite, you know, or even, you know, moving a partial and you know, moving it as a dedicated or an expedite where, you know, it'll actually pay better and, you know, require more service than, you know, full load.
Yeah, because if they're paying expedite, they need it there right away, and sometimes they want team service or there's an appointment or it's show freight, things like that. Now, one of the issues is if you're just doing one-offs, and I know you and I spoke last week, you were going to South Carolina, and I think you had, 40 feet of room or something on your trailer, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Well, actually, I was completely empty going down, and I probably have 30 feet of trailer coming back. But let's verify, the trailer I used for this move was a drop frame Kentucky moving van. So, you know, the upper deck is full of a lot of equipment. It's a 51-foot trailer. But having said that, after putting everything together, I'm glad I didn't put a whole lot together coming back, even though I only had one machine that was essentially 7 foot by 7 foot. For ease of loading, we loaded it through a side door because I have 8 foot side door on that trailer.
Wow.
And it, you know, I was in and out in 35 minutes. I mean, that's what, you know, including strapping and everything. And then, you know, coming into it with the forklift from underneath, it had pockets. I mean, it was a laser engraving machine, and it just was a piece of cake. Putting it on the tail would have been much more difficult. I mentioned if I had other moves, now I'm trying to move this machine, suddenly it becomes cost prohibitive.
Right.
But no, I did contact you because, you know, going down, I had time constraints and time requirements on needing to be in South Carolina a certain time. And, you know, we made that commitment, and that's how we priced the move. If we could find anything else, it would be sweet. I just started calling around to a few of my customers up here. And you know what? Lo and behold, one of them had something. There were three oversized skids. One was a pallet racking. One was just miscellaneous supplies. The other was an uncrated industrial air compressor. And we took that down. And, you know, it was a very good customer. We struck a deal. And, you know, I was more than happy that my fuel for the trip was covered.
Oh, sure.
And it was almost like a big surprise because I got, you know, down there Monday evening to the plant where I was delivering, backed up to the dock, and I was like, well, I'll just go to sleep. Oh, let me put in the location of my pickup, because by GPS, the two towns were saying they were 15 miles apart. Well, once I put it in the GPS, I was 1.6 miles away from my pickup.
Isn't that nice when that happens?
Oh, couldn't have worked out better. They called me, and I said, I'm about, you know, 2 miles away, and they said, come on over, let's get it loaded, and boom, loaded and done, and on our way home.
Well, you know, those are great deals, and I love when those things come together and you get some extra freight. Where I really think there's an awful lot of potential for our listeners is to be lane specific, and where they run between point A and point B, and they let the customers and the brokers on both sides know what they're doing. So you have a dedicated lane, and you know, it takes a couple of weeks till you get it right. But if you run between, and I'm just going to pull something out of the top of my head, let's just say you ran somewhere like from Chicago to Springfield, Illinois, or even Chicago to St. Louis, Missouri. Those are two big cities, or Chicago to Indianapolis, or from, let's say, you know, New Jersey to Boston or something like that, where they're big cities that at least on one of those cities, one of them will be consuming more than they're producing. So you'll have a lot more going into one than you will the other, but you'll get paid more one way than you will the other way. And once brokers, I can tell you, brokers are hungry for great service providers. I can tell you that from the brokerage side, and I can also tell you that from the carrier side. Nothing a broker loves more than to just pick up the phone and phone somebody and say, listen, I've got five skids to go from point A to point B. And that gives your business a whole lot more value. And it's easier to sell when you go in somewhere, even if you're going to a direct customer. And you say, listen, I service from Chicago to Indianapolis. And I do LTL. I do anything of, you know, up to 12 skids or up to 10 skids. Because, as you said, those larger shipments, the big carriers, they don't want them. It really throws them off, especially the guys that use the pup trailers.
Oh, absolutely. And they also need to cross-dock it. You know, and that just adds time.
Sure, because they're all on scheduled runs, if I'm not mistaken, correct? They have schedules that they're really tight to adhere to.
Yeah, and they have cut times, and they need to roll to make service commitments.
Right. So they don't have the ability to compete in that market where, you know, and even if you get successful at it and you can get – you know, you have four or five deliveries in an area. And I'm going to use Boston as an example. Let's just say you ran an LTL service between Buffalo and Boston, Massachusetts, and you had eight deliveries to do in Boston. Well, Boston being what it is, you may very well want to make a deal with a local cartage company. Now, I know you're doing some LTL into the Philadelphia area, are you not?
Yeah, we're doing Boston every Monday. Be honest with you, in the last 3 weeks, I've had three trucks every Monday in New England. Wednesdays, we're in the greater Philly, Delaware area. Fridays, kind of hit and miss. Might be New Jersey, might be the greater Pittsburgh area. But we're putting a lot of that together. But it's because of our time commitments for the following day, as an example. You know, we'll go up to New England and we'll make six deliveries in the morning. We need to get back because that driver needs to get back, have his time off because he goes back out Tuesday. But I've been working with my customer pushing on them of, hey, I have a truck available every Monday in New England to come back. And you know what? We've had a customer that has now put something together where they have moves, and they're actually, you know, long pieces, which any LTL company wouldn't want. They're long bundles. We come in, they come in, they load us within 10, 15 minutes. We come back. We've even been in situations where we have delivered that evening to them, you know, or 8 o'clock the next morning. They're getting better service than anything, and it's not getting handled and damaged.
Yeah, that's the big thing. If you can avoid handling, and sometimes you can't, you know, with this new, you know, on some of the LTL runs, and we were just talking about it tonight, you just can't avoid using a cartage service because of some of the restrictions that we do run into when we're doing LTL into some of these distribution chains where, you know, they give you these bizarre appointments that you can't log. You know, they give you an appointment for 4 o'clock in the morning and just not your guy's schedule. You'd have to upset the guy's entire week in order to accomplish it.
Oh, absolutely.
And when you have, you know, when you have that, then you've got to use the cartage services.
Yeah, and you know, that is not really the freight that we're targeting. Most of what we're doing is almost more on a dedicated logistics. So, you know, we may use our trailers more often, but sometimes we'll use the customer's trailer, which is full logoed and lettered and a full wrap. But, you know, we're working to fill the void on, you know, like you're saying, the freight coming back. You know, as I mentioned, Philadelphia, you know, he's always empty by noon. And that's with, you know, starting in Newark or Elkton, Maryland, and coming on up. And, you know, we've got room. And I need to get out down there and sell because we have the ability to just show up. You have something every Wednesday. Give it to us. We can bring it right back up. But I need to stress to these people, you need to service or handle us as an LTL carrier. We show up, we're here, load us, and we leave.
Right.
We don't show up, don't give me a number, don't say, we'll call you when you're ready. I mean, I had that instance this morning. Had it set up with a customer here to deliver the machine I was bringing from South Carolina. Everything was communicated from Monday. I will be there, you know, on Tuesday, and then yesterday I'll be there between 10 and 10:30. I show up at 10 and 10, between 10 and 10:30 today. It was 10:20. And said to them, yep. And they were like, oh, well, you know, we're kind of backed up. You're going to have to wait a while. And I said, you know what? I call when you're ready. We'll reschedule and tell me who to make the redelivery charges to. And he goes, whoa, wait, what do you mean? I said, I have another trailer. I have to drop this trailer off back at home. I need to grab my other trailer, make a delivery back up here to Webster. So I said, I don't care. You can sit on my trailer. Hang on a second. Give me 5 minutes. Next thing you know, 15 minutes, a guy comes out with a forklift, open up the side doors, unload, and I'm out of there.
Yep.
But
it's amazing.
I said, you know what? I said, I am on time. I told you when I'd be here. I'm here. What's the problem? Well, the other guy was supposed to be here early. He showed up late. And I said, good. That's not my problem. That's yours. And that's his problem. Make him wait. I said, I don't have time for this. And you know what? The LTL companies, they go in and make pickups. Hey, I'm here. Give me my skids. Give me a pallet jack, I'll load it myself. We'll do all that. But I'll be damned if somebody's going to say, wait online, go on to channel, you know, 36, and we'll call you when we're ready. You know what?
But yeah, they do that at the marshalling yards a lot. You cannot have that sort of behavior when you're doing LTL, especially with e-logs. And even if you have a guy that's not running on e-logs, he's running on paper for whatever reason, you still can't do it. We've gone through hell with some customers through the years. We used to have a cosmetic or shampoo company up in Canada here, and they used to ship just a boatload of LTL, especially on Fridays. And some Fridays they would keep five of my trucks there, you know, from 4 p.m. till 2 a.m. until they finished making the product, and it all had to be appointments by Monday and Tuesday. So we'd all be waiting on the dock, waiting for this freight, and it was expensive. You know, I had five trucks sitting there. They didn't want to pay extra because they were loading up so many skids. They were in a little bit of control. But, you know, at the end, when we really looked at the account in a close-up fashion, we realized we weren't making any money on it, even though they were giving us $3 million a year in LTL freight. At the end of the day, if you're doing this, and you can make great money, you know, you can have your truck run from point A to point B for, you know, $5 and $6 and $7 a mile. It's not impossible, but you've got to have the right combination of freight. And it does not happen overnight, but if you run a good service and you're dependable, the one thing is people have to be able to depend and know that they phone George and George runs from, you know, from, let's say, Rochester to Philadelphia Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and they know they can call George and it's done, okay? The second George says to the customer, sorry, we're not going this week, that's it. You've lost them.
Yeah.
And all that great work you did for that customer, that broker, is usually downhill. And they go, well, I guess we're going to have to call whoever, YRC or whoever their other provider is, and bring them in. And you've lost yourself a customer. So it's really, really important to be able to give that service. You know, that's how these companies that have done really well in that marketplace, including FedEx, God bless them. You know, there's great stories about Fred Smith when he started out, and there were two that stick out in my head. And one was the first day FedEx was in business. I think they did, and these were just guys flying around in airplanes with parcels, basically making sure it wasn't even parcels. It was packages, small packages, and they had the guys go with, just to make sure it worked. And I think that they were given something like 100 packages and 60 of them got delivered properly. And Fred Smith jumped up and down. He was all excited. He said, you know what? We had service failures, but we see that this thing works. And
yeah,
that's what's so important. He started a system and it worked and he kept doing it. And that's what our listeners want to, they need that information to just keep doing it. You know what? If you're going on holidays, you're going, fishing up in Canada or wherever you're going, you're going to take some time off. You've got to make sure you've got somebody in place on this, because it's not similar to when it's LTL on a specific lane. You never want to lose that freight if it's specific, or you lose the entire lane. That's what happens. It takes, you know, when you have steady customers every week that give you that freight, in your case, from Dayton, New York, down to Philadelphia, you don't want to lose that. That's really good freight. And once you have those backhauls, what's that, George?
Absolutely. And you know what? We have an industry where, you know, I'm going to piss people off saying this, but I really don't care because the people need to hear it. We have an industry where we have drivers that have gotten themselves trucks and going around saying they're business owners, but what they've essentially done is bought themselves a job. They like to go around and say, oh, well, yep, I could do this, I could do this. Oh, yeah, no, I'm going away that Monday. That won't work for me, and this one won't work for me. You know what? Customer has a problem. The customer makes a widget or they make a product. They want to know it's going to get from point A to point B. If you're not there to handle that, they don't want to hear about trucking. They don't want to hear about tolls. They don't want to hear about tolls. They don't want to hear about snow. They just want their product taken care of because they're not in the truck. They're in the – they've chosen to make their widget, their product, whatever is going out for distribution. But, you know, I see it time and time again. People want to go after something, and they get it, and then next thing you know, they're like, well, no, that doesn't work, and, you know, oh, I'm a business owner. I can choose what I want. And, well, guess what? So is that customer, and they can choose whether to use you or not.
And yep, exactly. And I think there are a lot of there's especially lately in the last year, well, exactly the last 11 months, there's been a lot of people that have developed a bit of an arrogant attitude, but I'm starting to see that change a little bit as freight volumes have receded and pricing has receded. People are starting to perhaps get off their high horses and come down to reality.
Well,
and
they're going to need to do that, or they're going to be out of business. And if they think things are a little soft right now and blur are, you know, beating their chest saying, oh, well, this is the holiday season, guess what? Things need to be in place for now. Black Friday is, what, 8-9 days away. So guess what? All that stuff's already in place. Christmas, Yeah, it's unless it's food products, it's pretty much already in place. So if anybody thinks that they're going to hit a home run the end of the year and rates are softening, guess what? If they think they've been hitting home runs, they're going to have a harsh reality in the first quarter because, you know, many of them will probably be selling their equipment. Or
yeah, I can. You know what? I can see that. There's, you know, there's been that pent up demand for equipment, and it's flying off the shelves. I was with my son Doc on the weekend. We were in Minnesota, and we went to buy a truck on Sunday for our Chicago operation. It was a truck that I had scouted out. It was an 07. T800 day cab. I happen to like those trucks with a little Cummins engine. We went to look at it. I liked the truck. I found something wrong with the air system. Said to the guy, I'll send a mechanic in tomorrow to look at it. He agreed, and it wasn't cheap. The truck was $50,000, but it was a 07 and only had 300,000 miles on it. It was clean. And I called a mechanic that I was referred to in the Twin Cities area. He was going to go up and see this truck. The gentleman called me that owned the truck on Monday, and he said, listen, don't bother sending the mechanic. I sold the truck already. You know, that's how,
yeah.
You know, stuff flying off the shelves. So every time we see this, that somebody's going to put the brakes on, and I think it's going to be, you know, right around, right after the this Thanksgiving weekend, you'll see things slow down a bit. Other than, you're right, anything that's consumable, you know, as far as food, because that'll go right up to the very end. And even some of the dry freight that's connected with food, that'll go probably until the first or second week of December. And then that's already, by the second week of December, all of that product, you know, your biscuits and flour and all the rest of it, and cookies and candies, all of that product goes through the supply chain, and that's already well on its way. I just want to tell our listeners, if anybody wants to call in and give their opinion, please just press 1. George and I would love to answer a question or hear your suggestion. But you're right. You know, there's going to be a rude awakening, and I think the people that specialize, we've talked about it on the show before, but this is what I want to talk about tonight, was specializing in that partial load shipment. And there's different formulas. You can break it up into the running foot or by the pallet. At Traffix, we don't do a whole lot of quoting by the hundredweight. We do some. We actually started quoting skid rates almost 40 years ago when we started. And I know a lot of people rather quote by the hundredweight, but sometimes doing it by the pallet or the running foot. And my thing is, a pallet is 2 running feet, because if you sawed the pallet in half, you'd use 2 feet of trailer space. And that's how you sell it. And there's different formulas, but you just have to make sure that your costs are covered. How do you, when you're doing LTL for a customer, partial loads, and you're mixing and matching, how do you price out going into an area when you're working out an LTL rate?
I've got a magic 8-ball, and that helps me.
Okay.
Well, between that and the dartboard, you know what? I kind of play it a bit of literally how much space is it taking up? And you mentioned about, you know, that with the pallet rates. When I work for R&L, I mean, R&L, you know, still is a great company. I think they lost a lot of direction when they brought in folks from YRC and USF Holland to oversee and run the company, because they just made R&L just like every other company. They charge for the accessorials, they charge for the liftgate,
right.
They charge for all this, where they should have just left it alone of giving away the accessorials but having a higher baseline price. And
right.
That's where they hit and made the money. But when they were costing things out, I took the time to speak with, you know, one of the pricing managers, and he pretty much put it simply to me this way. He goes, George, here's what we're basing on. He said, everything is based on a skid. The skid is one skid, 4 foot by 4 foot by 4 foot, 1,000 pounds. Use your number by this. On a next day lane, we want this much per skid space. On a 2-day lane, we want this much per skid space. On a 3-day lane, we want this much. If it's a tall skid, you know, at 6 feet or 8 feet tall, guess what? That's two skid spaces. If it's a short skid, but it's 4 foot by 4 foot, but it weighs 3,000 pounds, well, no, that's three skid spaces because now we're, you know, causing weight issues.
Right.
Not issues, but from a cost
standpoint. Yeah, I get that.
You know, so
you're using up the space
and
of three pallets.
Yes, exactly. You know, but I, you know, one thing I want to say is if folks are out there, I mean, like I said, if you can get yourself set up with customers, and most of the folks listening are probably going to be with brokers, and they know, you know what, John is going to be in St. Louis every Tuesday. We know he delivers Monday. He can pick up. You know, here's another thing that brings tremendous value. Throw a half dozen or a dozen straps in your trailer and have the e-track or the logistics post so you can take something. You know, even half a dozen blankets. Put a belly box or a box underneath your trailer where you can put some furniture pads or blankets in there. Throw something over it. Strap it to the wall. You know what? That's like gold to somebody. If they don't have to spend the money on packaging, you know.
I totally get it. I was I took a run out once to the west, out to Vancouver, through the States, and we could bond it in. And I had so many drops that I actually had the bunk full of freight. And coming back, I deadheaded from British Columbia all the way down to San Francisco, which was about 800 miles where I started loading. And I spent 3 days down in the San Francisco area loading up LTL freight. And I went to warehouses every day after when I finished loading and got the load reworked and paid somebody $50. And my God, man, I came back. That was a phenomenal trip. Probably one of the better ones we had. And you can do that. It's not rocket science. You just have to be patient. And you're right. It was the fact that I had a whole bunch of decking bars with me. I had enough straps to wrap the outside of the trailer three times. And we could do all sorts of weird and wonderful things. And, you know, I just bought a bunch of straps yesterday for one of our show trailers. And, you know, they were $8 each because I bought 50 of them. And that's $8 Canadian, which is about $6.50 U.S. They're not expensive. And they'll save you on freight claims.
No, they're not.
You know, it's cheap. You know, and you know what, George? I just noticed we got to get pretty soon. We got 2 minutes and 39 seconds left, so we can't get into anything too long. Is there any way, because you are such a great wealth of information, that our listeners can get hold of you? George?
Yep. Still there. Go ahead.
Is there a way anyone can get hold of you if they, perhaps they've got, there's a lot of brokers listening to this show now as well. Maybe they want to throw some business your way or, you know, maybe a driver wants to come to work for you or something. Is there a way people can get hold of you at Blue Heron Logistics?
Chuck, I'm doing this only because you suggested it. You know, people can do little footwork. It's all part of sales to track down my number, but yes, we are actively looking for employees. You know, we run regionally out of Western New York, so, you know, people need to live here. But no, we have a lot of things that we can offer. And, you know, since you suggested it to me strongly earlier, yes, my cell phone number is area code 585-305-1510. Feel free to give me a buzz. If you didn't get that number, look us up. Just Google Blue Heron Logistics. Take a look at our Facebook page. Give us a call. You know, as you mentioned, you know, we don't do a lot with brokers. I'm somewhat biased, you know, not wanting to, but it's something I need to change because they can bring a tremendous value to me on the areas of what I'm looking for.
It certainly can. Well, with that, George, I'm going to say good night to everybody. George, thank you so much for joining us. And
as
if
always,
you need me, 800-388-4352, press 203 and you'll get me. You can catch me on Instagram, Chuck Snow, CEO. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Be safe, and we'll catch you on the flip-flop. Good night.
Good night.